Okay, Tov world. Today's daf Masechet Chagiga is daf Chof Aleph, and as Sir Richard introduced the perek yesterday, it's a new perek. I think we should just run over the Mishnah, which we did very quickly yesterday, so that everyone will be well aware of the issues that we're talking about over here. And so, once again, the difference what we've been discussing until this point in perek Ein Darshin, that had to do with the nature of awareness, and that because of that. We were talking about Amida Bifnei Har Sinai, and that included the Merkava and the Malachim and all of the things that we saw in Har Sinai, and therefore the Yera'eh Yera'eh implies a level of consciousness that was special, and we needed to discuss what things we're allowed to talk about, what things we need to first have a level of mind that is fully competent and capable. And then we talked about the way in which one's mind has to be aware in the Darga of Das, of the Inyanim of Tuma V'Taira, because that's what we call the nature of Tuma V'Taira Bichlal. And that led to the description of all kinds of various Ma'alot, understanding the differences between five Dargas, maybe even six Dargas, if we treat Chulin Shana Asra Taras HaKadosh differently. There's a famous Shalah that actually relates this fascinatingly. These Dargas that we have over here at the end of Ein Darshin, that he relates to the levels of human development in terms of the growth into Olam Haba. And what he points out is that, and as he says, in the same way that we have Ma'alot, like Big Day Purushim, Big Day Amaretz, and Big Day Achle Truma, and Big Day Achle Kadesh, the same thing is true, that there's different Madregas. That's where the Enker Kechob Olam Hazev, V'enzulatecha Malkenu L'chaye Olam Haba. We have four Dargas listed over there. Going all the way through, L'tchiyat HaMetim. So he points out that there's four Dargas that we use the words Olam Haba loosely about, and we often can get mixed up, because if we say La'atid Lavo, what does that mean? So there's really four Dargas. It's important to know this, because oftentimes the Gemara seems to be using words in different ways. So there's the concept of the coming into full Tikkun, the Shleimus of Olam Hazeh. That's also called La'atid Lavo. And then there is the concept of Olam Haba that is referred to in terms of Gan Eden, where it's called Gan Eden Tachton Velyon. And that has to do with an individual person, it has to do with his neshama after death, and so on. Then we have Yumot HaMashiach in terms of Olam Haba, because there is a Yumot HaMashiach in which the neshamot are also nichnasim lifnai v'lifnim, in terms of Yerushalayim Shalmala, the same way that Mashiach creates Yerushalayim Shalmata. So that's also a getter of La'atid Lavo. And then you have the overall change in the world, which is Yom HaDin HaGadol, and that's Tchiyat HaMitim, in which there's not really that much of a relationship to what we see as Olam Hazeh in terms of physicality. And so anyway, all of that was Nogei, the previous parak. But when it comes to this parak that we began yesterday, or we'll begin again today, Chomer BaKodesh, the point is specifically, as Rashi pointed out earlier, which I think is really Nogei here and not earlier, and that is that there are special relationships that we have to the Beit HaMikdash when it comes to Chagiga, and those, because of that, only interest us what are the special situations when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, what we're talking about is the difference between the Darga of Achilas Truma and the Darga of Achilas Kodesh, because even when we have the Kedushas HaGvul, that's one way of referring to Truma, as Gvulin. It's what happens outside of Beit HaMikdash. We want to contrast that with the higher Darga that is applicable inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Gee, it's like really nice talking only to three people and to a bunch of names. I'm telling you, you think you could be mitzarev names to a minion? I don't know. I mean, maybe they should do that in shuls. You know, they should put up like on the wall, instead of the names of all the dead people, they should put the names of the live people who are essentially dead because they refuse to show up with themselves. And then we could always have a minion with names. Be great. Wow. Zoom minyanim. All right. At least I get a little response. Okie dokie.
Well, it's smaller than sharing in person.
What, in the world, what do you guys have against sharing yourselves? What is this name business? Is it only a stress because we're in Sefer Shmot and you want to give out the idea that it's the special chavivas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, that he gives everybody a name, and maybe that's what it is? So maybe, okay, I don't know. Maybe we could like put the name up in bigger letters on the side of the pictures. You can have Gamed Zeva Gamed Zasai Elokim. I'll have to write into Zoom and find out what can be done. But anyway, meanwhile, thank you. Thank you for showing up. And let's continue now once again in Chomer B'Kodesh. Once we got Naftali on there, we know we've been successful. Okay. Starts the mission again with listing 11 different cases. Now, whether these 11 different cases are really 11 malot or 10 malot is a discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara today. But let's go through the 11 cases. So we have Chomer B'Kodesh Mibatruma. Here are the cases that the Mishnah is giving us, all of the differences, and turns out they're not really all of the differences, as Tosafot points out, there are things that we do not include here because they were included elsewhere, but here are 11 differences. A, if you're bringing kelim to the mikveh, you can have, as we often do, you can have like a container that holds a lot of different kelim in together, and you're basically being tevel one kli inside of another kli. And you can do that even for Truma, but you can't do it for Kodesh. And we're going to see what the problem is for Kodesh in the Gemara today. Number two, when it comes to a Tumah d'Rabbanan, so just Tumas Mashkim that are Metame Kelim mid'Rabbanan, then if you have a airline type of Kli, where you have these little separate areas in the Kli for your peas and carrots, and your steak and so on. And then you're makam tzvita, which is a place where you could hold it with your thumb, or maybe it's a dipping place. Anyway, each one of those is considered to be a separate kli, including the backside of the kli. According to some, this is not the normal backside. It is the type of thing that actually is a kli on the back, like a becher that if you turn it upside down, then the bottom of the becher also holds water. That would be called the achorayim, according to some, not just the back, because it's not a kli at all. So achorayim v'toch v'beit atzvita b'truma, but when it comes to kodesh, you touch it even with mashkin, and everything is going to be tummy. Hanoseat ha-midras, a person who is carrying midras, he's carrying, I'd say, the shoe of his zav in one hand, he is allowed to carry a barrel of truma wine in the other hand, but he can't do it with kodesh. Four, big day ochle truma, are midras l'kodesh, as we had in the previous parak. Five, lo k'midata kodesh midata truma, we're going to be much more machmir on chatzitzas when it comes to kodesh than we are on truma, because when it comes to kodesh, you would have to, in order to be metaher a beged, you would have to untie the knots, and if the beged is wet, you would have to dry it, or you would have to be menagev, depending on what the case is, in either because, as we said yesterday, Rashi and Tosfos learned that we're talking about over here knots, and they swell in water, and therefore would prevent water from entering, maybe, and not be part of the mikveh. And if the beged is wet, so it tends to bunch up, and bunching up is swelling that prevents the water from getting in. The Rambam learns, as I mentioned yesterday, that this is not talking about clothing. This is talking about kelim like a bed that are held together, or parts of kelim are held together with ropes. So over there, you need to untie the ropes, because underneath the ropes, you always get such a thick gathering of dust that it hardens. And therefore, when it says matir uminagev, it's not two separate things. You have to loosen the ropes that hold the bed up together, and then you have to rub the area off where that was under the rope in order for it to be clean enough not to be a chatzitza. It's a completely different idea, but it's still, both of them would be learning that it's dinim in types of chatzitzas. Betruma, but when it comes to truma, you can first tie your knots, and then you can be tovel. There's a lot of nafkaminas in terms of how tightly the knots can be tied. The knot's not so partial like it appears here. Turn to the halacha. Furthermore, number six, kelim ha-nigmorim b'tahara. So you were making a kli, never ever touched anything that was tame. Nonetheless, when it comes to kodesh, you have to be metayer it. We'll see later on what the problem was, because during the manufacture, it might have been exposed to body fluids, which may still be there, and afterwards it'll be metame, but not when it comes to truma. Number seven, a kli mitzarev mashu b'tochel kodesh. Let's say you have a tray, and on that tray, you have different types of foods that are not touching each other, and they're nowhere near each other. It doesn't make any difference. If you touch one of them, it's as if you touched every one, because the tray itself is considered to be a connection. And it turns everything into one piece of food. But this is only true for Kodesh, not for Truma. Number 8, Reviv Kodesh is possible. But when it comes to Truma, only a Shlishi is possible. Neither of them are Tameh to be Metame anything else. But a Shlishi Betruma will not make anything further than that Tameh. But it itself is possible because it's Truma Tameh, so to speak. It's Truma Pesula. Number 9, if one of your hands is Tameh, then the other one would still be Tahar when it comes to Truma. But when it comes to Kodesh, both of your hands are automatically considered to be Tameh, and you're going to have to put both of them in a mikveh, because remember, just washing the hand is insufficient. Shehayad mitameh et chaverta b'kodesh, aval lo b'truma. Number 10, you're allowed to eat foods that are not exposed to water, so it's called ochlen niguvim, so they're completely dried foods. B'yadayim is so avot, you can have dirty hands when it comes to truma. It's talking about that they were never exposed to water, and therefore they're not shayach to kabbalas tuma. But you cannot do that when it comes to Kodesh, because Kodesh doesn't require Hechsher Mayim, as we're going to see, and then this may involve other issues again, as we'll see. And number 11, Ha'onein u'mechusar kippurim, are people that are completely Tahar, except, unfortunately, when it's an Onein or another guy, is a mechusar kippurim, he hasn't gotten around to been in the mikveh, it's been 7 days, he waited, he's got every level of Tyra, which, of course, at the end of 7 days, that becomes his long-term Harev Shemesh, but he wasn't near the Beis HaMikdash, couldn't bring his Karbonas. 3 months later, comes to Beis HaMikdash, he's bringing his Karbonas, a perfectly Torah person, he needs to go to the Mikveh again. And that's again because of the level of awareness of someone who knew he wasn't allowed in the Kodesh, and that itself makes him Tameh when it comes to Kodesh. But this is not true for Truma. So this is what we got up to yesterday. Now that we have our 11 cases firm and clear, we're going to make fast shrift of this stuff here. Everybody thinks this is the most complicated parak in the whole Gemara and Shas, and we're going to see there's nothing to it as usual. It's very, very simple ideas, and most of which we've been exposed to before, and therefore should give us no trouble at all. Ha-ha. And so let's tackle these 11 cases from the beginning. So why is it that you cannot have one kli inside of another kli when it comes to Kodesh when you put them in the mikveh? What's that all about? So Rabbi Elazar says, well, it's because, I mean, you can imagine that the one of the kelim, the inside kli, it may be heavy, and then it's going to press against the outside kli, and that prevents the water from getting in. So then that's a chatzitza. Says Gemara, no, wait a minute over here. How could the first thing in the Mishnah be a chatzitza if the fifth case in the Mishnah is where we bring up the chatzitza? That's the business about the knots, right? And it says over there, the Ketani Seifa, Lo Kimidata Kodesh Midata Truma. It even says it like a klal. You know, so you should know that the things that are chatzitza when it comes to Kodesh are much more chomer than when it comes to Truma. So then that would be the place to include this idea of Kli B'toch Kli. If it's only a din of chatzitza, Sheba Kodesh Matir Umenagev Umatbil V'Acharkach Kosher. I mean, then put it all together, for God's sake. Here's the chatzitza issues, right? So how can you say that the first case is because of chatzitza? Well, because it's not the same. I'll tell you why. Because it could be that both case 1 and case 5 were because of chatzitza. And afa piking, we needed to have them as separate malot. Why? Because let's say I would have only known the case of kli b'toch kli. I would have said, okay, you know why you can't do that? That's because we've got the problem of the kli being machbid. Okay, so there, I understand it's a problem, but in the Sefer, we don't have anything that would suddenly create a chatzitza. So maybe it's not considered to be a chatzitza. Now, this is the marker of the Shita that explains that the knots that we're talking about are not tight knots, because if they were tight knots, this makes no sense. What's the difference? A tight knot is exactly the same as kvedo shekli. I mean, it would even be better, no? So it must be that we're talking about loosely tied knots, which is why the Rambam says that the issue over here is not the knot, because the knot indeed is loose enough for water to penetrate. The problem is that the area under the string has become filthy. That's the problem. Okay, so you can understand. These are the two approaches. What type of knot are we talking about? This is, of course, the Merumas and the whole sugya, and that we had before in Chulin of not bar not, right? So the question is, what I think that's what it's about is what kind of knots it is that are considered to be chatzitzas. Okay, maybe we need to review Chulin a bit, huh? Anyway, Masha Enkin, if it would have said the last case, V'yashmin and Seif, I suppose it would have only known about the knot. So have I mean, any time it'll Kodesh Lo. I'll tell you why you can't do it for Kodesh. That's because this is a different thing. This is how Rashi tells us. That's because knots become worse when they get wet, because then it swells, right? The string swells and makes it a tighter knot than it was before. And there, like, you can't really say, well, it's a loose knot. It's good. You can't say that because it's going to swell. Masha Einkein, where the problem is weight. I mean, when you put it in the water, so then the water changes the weight, right? Because it gives it buoyancy. So therefore, the weight should be less of a concern, not more of a concern. So therefore, we need to have two separate things, that we make this gezeira, whether the tefillah creates less concern or whether the tefillah creates more concern. So I would have said, maybe when it comes even to Kodesh, since the maya is akfuya makfila lamana, it makes it lighter. So then it's not a chatzitza. So therefore, we need to know both types of concerns. Now, the shita over here of Rabbi Lo just explained that the reason for item number one, which is kli betoch kli, the reason that it's a problem is because of chatzitza. That makes a lot of sense to his general approach, because his general approach was the Omer Rabbi Lo, Omer Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. If you want to take a look at the number of ma'alot in the Mishnah, there are 10 ma'alot. Now, any child can count the 11 ma'alot here. So what is he talking about? How did he get Eser ma'alot shanukan? Before, I mean, obviously the answer is because according to him, the two ma'alot that refer, one and five, that refers to chatzitza are basically the same idea. They're not separate ma'alot. So you've got 11 cases, which are 10 ma'alot. Okay, that's obvious. Why was he mentioning the number of ma'alot? That's because he wanted to say they're different. The first five, which of course means, according to him, the first six, because the first six cases are five ma'alot, right? So the first six cases, meaning the first five ma'alot, they would apply both to Kodesh and even to Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So that means that we would be treating Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh even more chomer than Truma itself. Again, so this now is a third approach that we have over here to Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. We saw before Shita Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh is just like plain Chulin. We saw the Hava Minah, it's like super Chulin. We saw that maybe it would be Truma. And now we see the fact that what we tried to prove before, Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, is Kodesh Tosfos, of course, asks the question. Why don't we take this into consideration before, that there may be specific areas where Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh is Kodesh, and specific areas where it's not Kodesh, as we're about to see in Rabbi La, in which case that actually crosses out any raya from the Ma'alot section, because maybe Lagabi Ma'alot, it's the same, but that doesn't prove it's always the same. Anyway, for further perusal in the Tosfos, but the question over here, meanwhile, once we've spoken about Rabbi Lo's idea that it's five and five, let's just point out that the first five, Chamesh Rishonot, they would apply to actual Kodesh or even to just plain old Chulin, except for the fact that you are eating at Al Taras HaKodesh, and therefore you cannot be Tevel that in Kli B'toch Kli, even for Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh, whereas the last five is only going to apply to real Kodesh. It will not apply to Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So you're not going to have a revi, let's say, that's going to be possible in Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. What is the difference? Why? How does Rabbi Yehuda? Remember now, please, we've popped down, right? Because we've been talking about just simple. The simple flow of the Gemara is, do we have 10 or do we have 11? And it happens to be that we mentioned in the context of the 10 or 11, which itself was only mentioned because we wanted to know whether it's correct to say that number one and number five are based on the same idea of the mala of being makbid on more concern for chatzitza b'kodesh than we are for truma. So we got into the number of malot because that would make number one and five the same. And that brought us now, we've popped down to a different issue, which is why would there be a difference between the first 5 ma'alot and the last 5 ma'alot in terms of Chulin Shana Asra Taharas HaKodesh? So we're going to look at that for a moment, but please don't lose track. Remember, part of your mind has got to remember where this all started. We're going to get back to the issue of why you can't be Tova L'Kli B'Toch Kli. And that's going to turn out to be a very contemporary daily concern for people who are Tovel or Kalim in the mikveh and so on, which we'll talk about as we get there. So now, my time. Why is there a difference between the first 5 ma'alot, which is the first 6 cases, according to Rabbi Law, and the last 5? The difference is very simple, says Rabbi Law. My time. The chamesh kamayita, the first 5 cases, idle drora de tuma midioraita. They have some level of connection, of worry about getting dragged into a issue of Tumah D'oraisa. And therefore, the Rabbanon were gozer this Maila, whether it's for Chulin, for Kodesh, I mean, or whether it's for Chulin Shanasu, Al Tairas HaKodesh, right? And why is that? Because, well, let's go through the cases, okay? So Maila number one is the question of whether there would be a problem with chatzitza. Well, obviously, that's no geya tumah d'oraisa. I mean, if there really would be a chatzitza, so then the mikveh wouldn't do any good, and that will bring you to tumah d'oraisa. That's obvious case, all right? So this would affect cases 1 and 5, which are mala number one, according to Rabbi Law. Then the next part, which we said, if part of a kli is tameh, achrayim v'toch beit hatzvita, if part of a kli is tameh, then even though it's only a tumah d'rabbanan, the entire thing is considered to be tameh when it comes to kodesh. Well, obviously that's a d'oraisa. I mean, if you touched a kli midoraisa and you were tameh, then this is an absurd thing of saying half of the kli is tar, half, that's ridiculous. The whole kli would become tameh. So that's obviously a drora de tumah d'oraisa, even though we're talking about over here d'rabbanan. And number three, where you're carrying midras in one hand and you're carrying kodesh in the other hand. So obviously the cases we're going to see is because there was a contact between the midrash and the kodesh world, and that's 100% a d'oraisa. And then the question of number four. What was number four? Big day amar, big day eichlei trumar tameim for kodesh, because shema teshev aleim ishto nida. Well, if that happened, you're totally talking about a tumah d'oraisa for sure. And then the number five, which was that we said kalim that are nigmar and betaira are required to have a new a tvila, even though we know that they were never exposed to any kind of tumah, that again, as we're going to see, is because we're worried about body fluids that could be tumah midoraisa that remained on them from before. So there too, we're talking about a tumah midoraisa, masha inkain. The batraita, the last 5, which have no concern of ever getting dragged into a drora, I'm using the word dragging for drora, drora de tumah midoraisa. So over there, the Rabbanan were only goes for Kodesh. We didn't go so far as to say that it would apply even to Chulin Shanasu Al Taharas HaKodesh. I mean, because what, you know, the fact that we should say a kli is betzarif and nothing, I mean, if nothing touches something that's tameh, it can't become tameh d'oraisa. You want to talk about it in terms of, let's pretend it's all one thing, but that's a Rabbanan pretense. It's never going to bring you to get into a d'oraisa. And the second case, which were, again, the second case is really case 8, not 7, according to Rabbi Law, because we're talking about the malas, right? And that is the din of Ravi B'Kodesh, completely in the imagination of the Rabbanan. The fact that a yad is metame a yad, that doesn't exist as a concept, Bichlal. There's no such thing as a yad being tummy midoraisa. So either you are tummy in your body or you're not tummy in your body. There's no such thing. Or the question about an onane, why in the world would an onane, where would be the tumah d'oraisa? I mean, an onane is not d'oraisa. Okay, so all of these things are negia, imaginary, so to speak, situations that are created midorabbanan and therefore do not affect the d'oraisa. Okay. So now whether a Gavi International is now better than a mouse on a head, I'm not sure that in terms of the connection to the real person, that putting up a trademark is better than a mouse. There we go. All right. So now we got the real thing. Okay. So over there, we don't have the Rabbanan. Lo gazubu Rabbanan, since there's no drawer to tumah d'oraisa. Okay. Rava says, I do not like this. I don't believe that case number 1 could have been included with case number 5 except that we want to make it three chasa, but we've got four cases in between. This makes sense to you? That it's all like the same case? Not to me. What, by the way, would be the sense of such an order? L'chora, the only way that it would make sense is if we understand that the ma'alot, as often happens when we're listing in a Mishnah, we're listing takonos derabanan, and we list them in the order in which they were created. So it could be that these ma'alot actually came in that order, and then they extended the idea of kli b'toch kli. They extended it maybe into even the concern for knots. Anyway, look, the point is, says Rava, I don't believe that we're going to make two separate cases that are one ma'alot. I believe the Mishnah is talking about Chomer B'Kodesh, that these are, each one is a ma'ala. And therefore, I see here 11 ma'ala. Now, you're asking, so what then would be the reason? I mean, obviously, the lo k'midat ha-kodesh, midat ha-truma, I mean, obviously, that's talking about chatzitza. There's no way out of that. You're talking about knots and so on. What else could it be? But what would be the reason of not being tova akli mitoch kli? I say, says Rava, if the number, case number five, which we're talking about over here, is basically, case number six, it's case number six, is because of chatzitza, then case number one is not because of chatzitza. So I'll tell you what it's about. The reisha, case number one, is because of, this of course is nogea, this week's parasha. This week's parasha describes the creation of foil, right? Remember, you never knew that the Torah teaches us how to make aluminum foil. But lamaisa, for the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and we talk about over there, that all of the threads, they all required golden threads. Now, how do you make golden threads? So here's the first time in Parshas Pekudei where it says how to make golden threads. You have to make tassim, you have to make foil. So first you make gold foil. So you can actually, because gold is soft enough that you don't need massive 100-ton presses to roll out a foil the way you would for aluminum foil, you can make it by hand by carefully tapping and tapping and tapping until you get a foil. Once you get the foil, then you can cut strands of that foil, which then become the gold threads that are included in the various threads, but then you're going to be spinning gold. I mean, this is Rumpelstiltskin. How did Rumpelstiltskin do that? So what you need to have is very tiny fork-like things that hold the gold threads, but they're very small. That's what we tried to be tevel in Moshe Forman's head the other day, right? So he's not even here? Oh my gosh. So can't even needle him. Okay. So those tsinoriot, or sewing needles for that matter. So now we all know the big problem of being told for those things. The problem is that, of course, by the time you get home, your wife is ready to murder you because you drop them all to the bottom of the mikveh and they're never seen again, right? So this guy's got a brilliant idea. What he's going to do is he's going to put all of his wife's sewing needles into a Coke bottle. And then he'll go and be told for the Coke bottle. And then when he pours it out, all of his wife's sewing needles will be in fine shape. Very smart idea, except for one minor problem. A Coke bottle has a mouth that is not wide enough to be considered for the water inside of it to be part of the mikveh, which, if you recall, we learned has to be kishvo feretanot, which is two etzpaot that are chozrot, they're able to be rotated inside of the shvofer tanod. The shvofer tanod means the straw that you put into your skin bottle. So this is today very common. It's still called skin bottles, believe it or not. And this is what all bicycle riders have if they're going for a long bike ride. You have a skin bottle made out of plastic, of course. Although they do sell real skin bottles, by the way. I went on the net and I found real skin bottles. But anyway, so the skin bottles, of course, were the only way you could make that kind of thing that was waterproof. So you made it out of a skin that was sewed. And then you use the neck as your tube for sucking up the water while you're on your bike. But anyway, nowadays, people don't like that kind of thing. So they make it out of plastic. But then you have this tube that's stuck into the bottle and the tube comes around to your mouth. You know, you wear the tube and then you can suck as much as you like when you get thirsty. That tube, the thickness of that tube is, of course, not what we're referring to here, because we don't use tubes that are kishwaferet hanod, because then you would need lungs that are better than most bike riders have. So, but what in those days, of course, you poured from the tube, you didn't really suck it. So over there, the tube was, a typical tube was the size that would fit into the skin, and that's a lot bigger than a straw today, obviously. And that was big enough for your two fingers next to your thumb. So your middle finger and your index finger would be able to be stuck into that tube and would be easily rotatable. Not they would have to spread it out. And so that is the shear. Coke bottle obviously is not big enough to do that. So because of that, if somebody would be led to put in small kalim in a Coke bottle, he would end up having tummy kalim. So when it comes to Kodesh, we make that gezeira, says Rava. That's the point. So Reisha, Lamishum Chatzitz, it's got nothing to do with chatzit. So you know what the problem is in the Reisha? Gezeira shema yadbil mechatin v'tzinoriot beklisha ein bepiv kishvoferet anod. So we're worried about these little golden spinning forks or your wife's sewing needles. And we know that that has to be the size of a shvoferet anod. We talked about this so many times. We're learning the dinim in Tuma. Kinitzan, iruv mikvaot kishvoferet hanov, which is, what is the shear of kishvoferet hanod? It has to be the size, not only, and you'll remember this also, not only of the lumen of the straw that you put in, but of the lumen plus the thickness of the wall of the straw. And that is shtei etzba'ot chozrot l'mekoman. You got to be able to twist your fingers inside of that hole, which clearly is a lot bigger than a Coke bottle. So that, basically, according to Rava, so he obviously holds that there are 11 separate ma'alot. That's the whole point, not 10. And this is a new din, a totally new gezeira based on the problem of Coke bottles. So, Savalakadi Amar Benachman Amar Rabba Baravua, Achadisre Ma'alot Shanukan. It's not true that there's only 10. There are 11. And therefore, the first six would apply Bein Lekadesh, Bein Lekulish, and Atzvat Taras HaKadesh. Again, because if Drora the Tuma de Raisa, according to Rava, in this first case, if you would try to do that for your Coke bottle, you would end up with something that would be Tame de Raisa, because this halacha shofarat anod, that's halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. And therefore, because of that, you have to worry about it, even for Chulish and Asra Taras HaKadosh. The rest I agree with Rabbi Law, that the last 5 ma'alot, you're right, they're not for no Drora the Tuma de Raisa, and therefore they don't apply lo l'Chulish and Asra Taras HaKadosh. Now, are there practical differences between Rava and Rabbi Law? Well, of course, yes. I mean, Tosafot points out there are other practical differences. But let's take a look at a very important and contemporary issue that has to do with this problem. It is a common practice, is it not, to take a basket and put your silverware in the basket, right? You're not going to take 50 pieces of silverware, put each one in separately, each one of which increases drastically your chance of losing your head because you dropped one to the bottom of the mikvah, right? So because of that, we put everything into a basket. Now we're going to put the basket into the mikvah. Aha. So now the question is like this. So ikaminayim, salve gargutni. So say you have a basket you filled up with your silverware and you put them into the mikvah. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Law that the problem over here is bishum, the chatzitza, so then lechora, you would also have to be worried that if you've got 2 soup spoons, let's say, one on top of the other, and so on, maybe one will be machped on the other, won't allow the water to get in. So the fact that it's in a basket, that's not good enough. So according to Rabbi Law, it would still be a problem. But according to Rava, who says that the problem is because of Coke bottles, when it comes to a basket, you don't have to worry about that. Salve gargutni she'in b'fiyem kishvoferet hanod. Leka, there's no such thing as a basket that doesn't have an opening that's enough. Ah, you imagine what kind of basket would that be, that it has a Coke bottle size opening? That would be ridiculous. So there shouldn't be a problem. And therefore, if you have this large basket or the kind of strainer things that we use that are made special for mikvahs, you know, you hold them up and then you put everything in and they're made out of the metal and so on. And that's great. That's not a problem, right? Now, question, the way we just explained it, if you don't put the basket into the water till the entire basket is overfilled with water, then you have the same problem because you don't have the water. We have to be worried that maybe the holes of the basket are not kishvoferet hanod. You certainly wouldn't be able to take like one of those laundry things for doing your tzitzis in. You know, they call them tzitzis bags, I think, in the supermarket, right? So you wouldn't be able to take one of those laundry baskets and use them for your begotten, because for your tefillas kelim, because it's not kishvah feratanot. So is that the way we're supposed to read? I mean, the way we just read it, that is actually true. And that would be the halacha lamaisa. Now, the question is that really the case? Now, I must tell you that one of my grandfather's great-greats, the Chacham Tzvi, is brought to halacha by the Pesachei Tshuva as saying, yes, that's exactly the case. That they, you cannot do that, even though obviously the water is gushing through because the whole thing is full of holes. But that's what it's saying over here. According to Rashi, the approach seems to be, well, you don't have to worry about the top of the basket. However, all right, you know what? Before we even get into this detail, let us first look at the rest of Rava's statement, because it involves the entire structure of what Rava writes for us to be able to get a clear sense of it. This would be, says the Gemara, this is Oz the Rava Lataimi. Now, this is Rava going Lashitato, because Rava said that in the event that you have a big basket, so you've got a sal or a gargutni. A gargutni is also a basket, but it's a strainer basket. It's used to put the grapes in, you pour the wine through it when you finish processing it, and it keeps back a lot of the lees junk that are mixed with the wine. So, but it's also a basket kind of idea. So if you have a sal and a gargutni, and you fill them up with your silverware, and you put them into a mikvah, that would be tahar. Now, here's where we get to a problem. But, says Rava, suppose you took a giant sal that was 5 feet tall, very large sal type of thing. Or you can imagine that you made a chatzitza in a mikvah. You've got one mikvah, and the people want to have privacy in this one mikvah, right? So what do they do? So you build one room for one woman on one side, another room for another woman on the other side, and then the mikvah itself, you put a basket weave down the middle so they have privacy, right? But meanwhile, you've split the mikveh into two parts. Each part of the mikveh does not have arbaim sah. Well, in that case, it's no good. So then if a mikveh, you were mechalek the mikveh into two parts with a sal and gargutni without having 40 sah in one place, hatovel sham lo al talot tefillah, there it's not a good tefillah. I'll prove it to you. Because arakula chalchule mechalchula, is it not the case that the earth actually is porous, and that if you have water in one place, it seeps out and gets into other places? Absolutely, it's true. Nonetheless, does that make a mikvah of arboim saw? Because, well, we got a little bit here and a little bit there, and they all come together. So wherever you are, you're in a mikvah of arboim saw, because the earth is porous. I never heard anybody say that. So if that's the case, you see that being a digar boim sub a makom echad, you can't split it into two. Now, this creates two very, very different approaches to the sugya. So what we took until now was that, and this was the Chacham Tzvi's assumption about the sugya, is that what we're talking about is the difference between having the top of a basket always being much larger than a Coke bottle, so it's going to be more than a shofar tanod. Nobody makes baskets that small. And because of that, we don't have to worry. Or there's another approach. The other approach is that a sal v'gargutni are by definition never going to have a problem of shofar tanod because they're totally porous. And therefore, it's irrelevant. Now, this makes a tremendous difference, because if it's irrelevant to us how large the top of the sal or gargutni is, so then that would mean a number of things. First of all, you don't have to put the sal into the water completely, right? But what about the question of, can you use one of those laundry tzitzis bags? Can you use them for your silverware? Yes, you could, if the issue is the way we just explained it, which is the way many of the Rishonim explain it. That the idea is that a sal and gargutni is absolutely meaningless to discuss kishvah feratanod because they are completely porous. So what does that have to do with anything, right? So therefore, in that case, there would be no problem. You could put your things into a cloth bag, for that matter, and not have any opening, have the whole thing pulled shut and put it into the mikveh, and your silverware would become tar, according to this approach. Now, this is the approach that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah Paskin, by the way, not like the way the Chacham Tzvi has it, and not like the way we learned the Gemara initially, which is the way many of the Rishonim learn. We don't worry about Salva Gargutni because the opening is, you know, it's not because of the opening, it's because of the fact that it's porous. Now, of course, that raises the problem. So then why did Rava say if you split the mikveh into two, if the issue is that it's porous and we don't need a Shvofer Tanod when things are porous, so what are we talking about? So why did he say if you split the mikveh into two, it's no good? And furthermore, how does he bring a raya from the fact that the earth is porous and we don't use it for a tziruf mikvos? We should use it for a tziruf mikvos. And in fact, according to this approach, if you would dig, let's say, a big ditch next to the yam, and your wife is scared to go into the yam, she's afraid of the big waves, so you dig a ditch and let her go to the mikveh in the ditch, because the ditch immediately fills with water, even if there's no waves filling it, because it's very porous. The sand is very porous. And you're telling me if it's porous, that it's okay. So then what would be the halacha of being tovel, even midiraisa, in a ditch? Well, the truth is, according to those approaches that we just mentioned, that porousness is actually the issue over here. You can. And as the Gra, who was very scientific, as you know, as the Gra points out, seriously, true. I mean, he's a famous world-class mathematician, but he was also a scientist. And this is one of the cutest Gras is brought in the Tshuva, that he says, for heaven's sakes, everybody knows about the experiments when you put a silver clip on fish in order to trace where it is that they go to. Can you imagine? He says, everybody knows you put those clips with an identification number in a place that is completely closed, and it turns out to get out somehow or other to water out in a Nahar. How is that possible? So obviously, we really are talking about porous, man, real porous. And besides that, he said, this I can't tell you personally, but I've heard from many people that they dig ditches and they've got, you know, a place for a cistern, or they're keeping water, and they find fish in there. How the heck did the fish get in there? So obviously these eggs could certainly are mechalkal chuchule together with the water. So you see that it is porous. I don't accept this stuff that it's not really porous. Okay, fine. So basically, so according to him, you actually can be tovel in the ditch. So then how do we explain the part about cutting the mikveh into two? Why can't you rely on that? That's really weird. So what they have to say is like this. If you have a mikveh that exists, so then the porosity allows anything that's connected to that thing to be a mikveh. But if you don't have one place that has 40 saw, and then you've got on one side of your porous barrier 20 saw, on the other side you have barrier of the barrier of 20 saw, then that's where we have that shear that you need Shvofer Tanod, and porosity is not sufficient. That's the other way of learning the second part of what Rava says, and that's what he's saying. If you don't have a 40 saw somewhere, then it's not going to be good. So now, the case, however, the way that Rashi brings it, lo alta tfila, af al pi, shahay amayim mechabram bein avir hanitzarim, ein ze chibur, says Rashi. So he's saying that the mayim is mechabra, it's still not considered to be a chibur because you have to have the 20 on each side. So now the question is, so how exactly would that work with the tefillah? If you have something in a bag and it's completely closed, so would that be considered to be inside of the mikveh as much as it is and so on? There's one additional possibility, which is the Tosis Ritz possibility. The Tosis Ritz says, look, if something is in a mikveh and it's surrounded by mikveh water, then its porosity is definitive because it's part of the mikveh. But if it's not surrounded by mikveh, then porosity does not provide you a chibur between two mikvahs. So in the case where you use the basket from end to end and completely sealed off one part of the mikvah from the other, there it's not mechaber. Okay. Whatever the approach is, the halacha lemaisa, what we, most of the achronim paskin, because according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, you could actually dig that hole and it would be considered a good mikvah. Most of the later poskim say it's kedai to be machmer on a diraisa, like the earlier approach that we were talking about, the Chacham Tzvi's approach, to say that porosity is not a solution. You need to have the opening on top to be inside. We don't have cases where it's going to be nogei halacha lemaisa, other than the case of the nida and an issue diraisa. I mean, other than if you're an ochel truma, which again, that's not so contemporary. But again, so when it comes to the derabbanan of issues like tefillas kelim and so on, you certainly can be soimech on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. You can use a strainer or a bag to be tovel your silverware without needing to worry about that.